Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Shane, are you into mushrooms? And I'm speaking in particular here about the morel.
Okay, we're
variety.
Being very descriptive here. Okay, good. Because I did have a few wild years in college, so...
Ooh.
Oh.
I never even thought of that angle.
Shrooms. No.
Okay, let's...
I enjoy the taste of morels.
What does that mean? You enjoy the taste?
I don't hunt for them or anything like that.
Well, look, I live out on a farm, of course, and every spring, you know, one of the things that our family really gets into is mushroom hunting.
Yep.
Right.
And we always make a killing. You know, we've got our certain spots that we go check, you know, and all that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, mushroom season is essentially over, and we got skunked. I mean, we didn't find a single morel. And, you know, there's some serious depression in my family right now.
I got a question for you. What kind of, what gauge rifle do you use when you go hunt mushrooms?
Boo.
That fell flat, man.
I'm sorry.
That was bad.
Our guest probably hung up after that. So,
are you still there, Congressman King?
I am, and I'm really disappointed you didn't have the mother load of morel mushrooms to find this spring. What do you say? What gauge rifle? Well, maybe there's a what caliber shotgun do you use?
Wow.
See?
Well, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Congressman King. Not the best introduction, but hey.
No, but it's really clear that you guys have had a little caffeine.
Yes, yeah.
Either
that's
that or,
true.
Either that or a magic mushroom. I know.
So I have to ask you, is your blood pressure rising this morning after the bathroom decree?
Oh, it absolutely is. It is. I just, in my conversations through here, I don't know how many times I've been talking about this morning, and I went off over into our lead shop where our staff resides and grinds their way through the bills that we're doing, and had to vent to all of them to let them know what I think about this. That the President of the United States said that he would transform America as a candidate in 2008. But he was for marriage then, and now he is for guys and girls' bathrooms in schools.
Hmm.
And just think of it. They've issued a federal decree that they're going to come after any school that doesn't allow boys in the girls' room, girls in the boys' room, anybody to go into any room that they have to feel at the moment. Genders can switch on the way to the bathroom.
Right.
And think of this. This is you know, the last week of school for a lot of high school seniors. Some of those boys especially are a little rowdy when they've got their grades already in the bank.
They're
just kind of waiting to go down and accept their diploma.
Right. I was never like that. I just wanted to make a, let
yeah,
our audience know.
To the intro, and I already know better. But think of this. All over America, they've got to be lined up right now, the pranksters going, I'm going to go into the girls' room. I dare you. Well, the two of us will go. The three of us will go. There's a lineup in some school somewhere right now, and no school can discipline them because the federal government will come in with the Justice Department and jerk their No Child Left Behind funding. And who knows? You know, they might even decide that they're going to cut the calories and the protein back in the school lunch program.
Is there any protein that you can actually cut from the school lunches? I don't know if you could.
Well, they had meatless Monday that came out of the Department of Agriculture.
Oh, that's true.
Of course, DOA regulates this, so I suppose they could go meatless Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. We're going to make you all vegans. And transgendered vegans would satisfy them.
Gosh.
I don't want to think about that.
It's the unhumorous, humorous reality of how perverse our society has gotten under Barack Obama.
Congressman King, it strikes me, though, that ideology aside, there, and what I mean by that is left versus right. I can't imagine that all of the public schools in the United States, even if they're leftward leaning, are going to be thinking that this is a good idea. Surely there are some of those administrations and school boards that are going to say, no, we're not going there. This is going to be an impossible situation.
Well, I was sitting a freshman in high school when Murray versus Curlett came down that ordered that there be no more prayer in the public schools. And I thought then, that was 1963, and I thought then, how are they going to stop us from praying in our schools? They can tape our mouths shut. That doesn't do it. The only way they could stop us would be to empty the schools out. And in my mind's eye, I can still see the images that were conjured up. Two U.S. Army personnel standing there guarding the doors that were chained shut on our high school. And that was the only way that in theory, it was the image that came to mind. The only way to stop us from praying in our public schools was to empty the schools out and guard them so we couldn't sneak in and pray.
Right.
And yet what happened was society capitulated to the command of the Supreme Court, and then we saw a watershed that went downhill. Roe versus Wade, Doe versus Bolton, Griswold versus Connecticut, Eisenstadt, on and on, and they decided, and I know that's a whole long law school stuff, and I never went to law school, I just read the cases.
Right.
But we went downhill fast, and then you saw we were all part of the battle against what our Iowa Supreme Court did when they commanded that there be same-sex marriage in Iowa.
Right.
And then we saw the Supreme Court order just create a new command in the United States Constitution. And so now we're going to submit to five members of the Supreme Court and one president and simply let them change the protocol of the civilization that goes back to Adam and Eve?
Right.
And I'm going to say I think the society will capitulate. You know, they didn't fight on marriage.
It seems that way. I mean, because the question that Iowans get asked whenever this is polled is like, well, how has this affected you personally? You know, and more people are saying, well, it hasn't. So, I agree with you. I think that society, unfortunately, we get used to a lot, which is sad. I want to back up a little bit regarding this bathroom decree. One of the more outrageous things about it, beyond what it actually does, is that there, one, it hasn't been any court ruling on this, and two, transgender students or transgenderism isn't, if that's a word, isn't mentioned in the Civil Rights Code. So I don't know what legal authority they have to do this.
Bingo.
Well, okay, and it's not. And the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, for example, I used to have that memorized. But if you look at it, other than religion, which is a specifically constitutionally protected right, the balance of the characteristics in Title VII of the Civil Rights Act are immutable characteristics. Immutable characteristics we don't talk about much anymore, but they are characteristics that can be independently verified and cannot be willfully changed.
Right.
And so that means race, it was race, creed, color. Creed was the religion part of the development. National origin or sex.
Right.
And they said the word sex is in, can I say that on the show? That was the word that's in Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. It didn't say gender. And I noticed about nearly 20 years ago now, when I was doing battle with this, Executive Order Number 7, signed by then-Governor Tom Vilsack, that granted special protected status for sexual orientation and gender identity. And I succeeded in that and ended up suing the governor successfully in the case of King versus Vilsack. That kept the word gender out of his executive order inserted the word effectively into the code in the civil rights section of the Iowa code. And I said, I don't want to be giving people special rights based upon what they say on the mutable characteristics. I want to protect immutable characteristics. And we have been losing that argument since that period of time. And that's what brings this together today. They can say, if they have to use the word gender, we want to sort people according to their sex. And if you're male, you go to the men's room. And if you're female, you go to the women's room. But if you get to decide what you are, I mean, I was out hunting some pheasants here last fall, and this discussion came up, and I looked down at the bird dog, and I said, what gender is that bird dog? And they started to answer me. I said, you know, you can't tell because the dog can't talk, and you can't decide.
Right.
You can tell if it's male or female, but you can't decide.
We don't know how the dog feels. Yeah.
Yeah, and the dog can't decide for, well, I guess the dog can decide for itself, but he can't let you know.
Right. So true. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Congressman Steve King. Congressman King, need to shift gears here for a second. Why do you hate ethanol?
They spent a few million dollars trying to promote that line. And so I said, instead, can you find anybody in the United States House of Representatives that's a stronger defender of renewable fuels in their entirety or the renewable fuel standard specifically? And I haven't found anybody that could actually name somebody.
Right.
So I think I'm pretty strong on renewable fuels. And here's the level of logic that I was faced with when I endorsed Ted Cruz. They assigned him a position of being opposed to renewable fuels. Not true, of course, and he advanced some really good policies. And then they said, well, since we've already told you that Ted Cruz is opposed to renewable fuels, which, again, not true, then Steve King's endorsed Ted Cruz. Therefore, anything we assign to Ted Cruz is also assigned to Steve King for a belief system.
Yeah.
And so we came through that. Ted Cruz, of course, won Iowa. And they began to attack me in a primary race. And so Bill Northey saw that. I think his judgment was that that was unjust.
Right.
And our Secretary of Agriculture stepped up and endorsed me. And so now they had to make the argument, we've told you Ted Cruz is against renewable fuels, even though it's not true. And by association, so is Steve King. And now we're going to have to convince Iowans that our Secretary of Agriculture is not pro-agriculture.
Gosh.
That's a hard sell.
Well, neither is the Iowa Farm Bureau, evidently, since they just consider you a friend of agriculture, correct?
Yes,
that just came out this week. Yeah. Yeah,
it's very grateful. We've all of the ag groups in 2012 when they spent the Christy Vilsack's campaign and her associates spent $7.5 million against me. She's the wife of the Secretary of Agriculture, and there were 60 different agriculture groups that weighed in on that race, either made endorsements or wrote a contribution check. And of those 60, all 60 of them supported me in that race against the wife of the Secretary of Agriculture.
I don't
think there's anybody in America that has a pro-agriculture credential like that, and I'm very grateful for it.
Can I just say I really enjoyed your victory in that race? That was a fun one to watch.
Well, I enjoyed it being a victory, too, although the entire campaign wasn't as enjoyable as the victory.
Right. Well, I think the primary, not that you necessarily want to rest on your laurels, but and look at the latest poll. You lead Rick Bertrand by 52 points?
Yes, that's what they told me. And I said, did you check your math? And they said, yes. The first time they calculated it was at 42, and they found out they were wrong. And so that's a pretty strong advantage to have with, what, we have 3 weeks out, something like that.
Right. Right.
And so it is, but he never came with an argument. He said that he doesn't disagree with me on the issues, so he didn't see a real reason for a debate. And then, but his campaign would be because he's more likable than Steve King. Oh, that's not that hard, I don't think. But
we like you.
and then I will look through the annals of politics and see if anybody ever ran on the ticket of being less likable than their opponent. I don't think so. And there was a guy that ran for mayor of Seattle that changed his name to none of the above, and he got 7% of the vote, but I don't think anybody ever ran on being less likable than their opponent.
Well, speaking of changing name to running none of the above, I think somebody could probably do that for this presidential race. Get on the ballot in certain key swing states. I think they might actually get a decent percentage of the vote. What do you think?
They might get more than 7%, but I should point out this none of the above from Seattle dressed like one and would probably want to have their option on which restroom to use.
Very true.
There you go.
Very true.
I shouldn't do this to you guys this morning. Maybe I haven't had enough caffeine. You know I have.
We get into that subject. It's a trip to the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, we just have a couple minutes left. I wanted to ask you another kind of hot topic. the House committee just recommended we're going to talk about this, but I think it's still a hot topic. The House committee just recommended that women register for the draft. So what are your thoughts on that?
No deal.
No deal.
We can't let that happen. And that means register women for the draft and expose them to combat. And as that draft would take them into combat infantry units just as it would men. That's just completely wrong. And so, again, social engineers in our military. Mm-hmm. If they think that women are so useful in combat, where's that all-woman combat unit? And you would think they would form that to demonstrate. And they're saying that they're never going to lower our combat efficiency. They already have.
It's already being discussed, I know.
If you're up against a 200-pound radical Islamic jihadi and you've got a 105-pound woman there, it's not her fault. She just can't throw that guy around that way. And if it turns into hand-to-hand combat, who do you think comes out on top of that?
Yeah.
I'm going to say this is nuts stuff. I think that's one of the words that Ted Cruz used when he described these kind of things. It's nuts to think that.
I think one of the things that is really disturbing is that there appears to be some Republican support for this as well.
Well, we've got that bill coming up next week. They just did a whip check on this thing now. And there are some 400 amendments that are offered on it right now. So we'll be debating that. And at least I think they'll allow a debate on it.
Congressman King, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for coming.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
You guys. This is fun. I'll come back if you let me.
Great.
Always.
Look forward to having you.
Thank you. I'm having some caffeine right now.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So, we have a very special guest on the line. All of our guests are special, just have to say. Daniel Ledoux, he's the co-chairman of the Draft SAS Committee, which can be found at draftsas.com. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Daniel.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, why do we want to draft SAS?
Well, mainly because you don't want either Hillary or Trump to win the presidency.
Okay.
That would be one of the main reasons. Second reason is he's a great candidate. When you look into Ben SAS, one of the things I really like about him is he's able to articulate constitutional principles in a way that's understandable for people and explains why they're better than current policy. So I love him for that because I'm a big constitutionalist.
Okay. So basically, Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska came out. He advocated for a third-party candidate. An article on Facebook just explaining why he couldn't vote for Trump. One of the few in Congress that has done that. But he laid out basically what kind of a third party candidate we should look for. Is that kind of what you see in Ben Sass?
Oh, absolutely. I think, I've read that post and I couldn't agree more with it. Ben Sass, one of the things that is really great about him is we're in a sort of climate right now where people are looking for outsiders.
Right.
Well, he's a junior senator, so he's definitely not part of the political establishment, but he knows how that system works. He's also, you know, he's come out and says, oh, I'm not going to run for a third candidate, and I respect that. But he was had to be drafted into a Senate race in Nebraska.
I didn't realize that.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah. Yeah, when he won his Senate race, he wasn't going to run, but they couldn't find anybody, and they had to pressure him pretty heavily to get into the race. For me, I think it's important to note that when we have a candidate who we want to run but is reluctant to do so, and you know, I hope that through this movement, we'll see how much money we raise, how many people get involved, and Ben Sass cannot help but be drafted into service to the American people. And to me, that's the best kind of candidate,
right?
Because he's doing it for the right reasons.
Don't we have kind of a short window of time here, though, as far as being able to get on the ballot in different states? I mean, what's your goal with that?
Well, right now we are compiling together everything we need to do to get in on the ballot in all 50 states. In terms of what the run would look like, I can't tell you that exactly. Whether it would be an independent run or mm-hmm. whether we would partner with a constitutional party or a libertarian party, something of that sort, I don't know. Right now, our focus is to get the word out, to let people know that there is another option other than the terrible candidates that the two entrenched parties are giving us.
Right.
And I think that when we look at the numbers, and we can talk about those, but when we look at the numbers in terms of people who are not willing to vote for Trump, not willing to vote for Hillary, and or willing to just sit the whole election out, we start looking at that, we start realizing there's a lot of people on both sides of the aisle, as well as the middle ground, that we can capture with the Ben Sass candidacy.
Okay.
Dan, sorry, Shane.
No, go ahead.
But Dan, Shane and I were talking off the air, and he was kind of rattling off the different qualifications for the candidate that would be appropriate for a third-party run that Mr. Sass had laid out. And I think one of those things was they were looking for somebody that had, or he suggested that we look for somebody who doesn't have family obligations. And apparently Ben Sass does. So it sounded like right out of the gate he was saying, I'm not your guy.
I understand. And he has been consistent in saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would tend to, you know, I would tend to slightly disagree with that, because I think the best candidates are ones with family. They understand the core of America, which is the American family. And to that, I think Ben Sass would be a great candidate.
Okay. So let me, I just, you know, because I'm a never Trump guy and never Hillary guy. So just so you know where I'm coming from.
You're okay. From Never Never Land.
Yeah. But I hear all the time, I'm sure you do too, but you know, a vote for Trump is a vote for Hillary. Or a vote for Trump is a vote for Hillary.
Great.
How do you respond to that?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up, because you're right. That's one of the first things somebody will say. Let's take a look at it right now. Hillary, if we look at what's happening in her her nomination campaign here, she's having a lot of trouble with Sanders, right? We're all talking about the fractured Republican Party, but let's look at the fractured Democrat Party. You know, I just read a recent poll that talked about how, it was done by the University of Suffolk, right? And I believe they concluded that 40% of Republicans said they wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. And 25% of that anti-Trump vote, they would consider voting for Hillary, okay? To me, that's an opening for Ben Sass. On the other side, something like 40% of Sanders voters would not vote for Hillary, and 15% of those voters, of the 40%, would consider voting for Trump. Again, another opening. So we're seeing here that it is by no means settled that who would win this election in the matchup between these two. And I think that there's, unlike any election we have seen in at least my lifetime, now this election is the election where a third-party candidate can pull an upset.
Well, you could very well be right. One of the things that, I find really maddening about what's happened as far as the Republicans are concerned is that I've viewed Mrs. Clinton as a very beatable candidate, eminently beatable candidate. And we have managed to find a way that we could possibly lose to her. So anyway, it does strike me that this might indeed be the time.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I mean, unfortunately, Donald Trump is an eminently beatable candidate as well.
Exactly.
So, you know, I mean, if we go into the general election with just Trump and Hillary, it's going to be a bloodbath. I mean, they have not even brought out 1% of what they have against Donald Trump in the election so far. So we're going to start seeing a lot of that. As you know, Hillary has a mountain of problems on her side as well that still have to be fleshed out before the election. So for me, you know, when the nomination process started, how many of us thought, oh, Trump, he has no chance. And no, you know, we dismissed him offhand as just sort of,
that would be us. Yeah, that would be us.
You know, we all said
we had a good laugh about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not laughing anymore.
No, I'm sorry. They're crying maybe, but.
And so, you know, it just goes to show that when people come out and say, well, this is going to happen if you do that. No, it's not. You know, there are no more rules in this election, if you ask me, and it's wide open. If we can get the American people a candidate that can appeal to both sides, and I believe Ben Sasse can do that, we do have a chance, a real good chance. We just have to get the American people behind it and stop believing. American people have to stop believing that these two parties are the only choice they ever get.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Daniel Ledoux, who's the co-chairman of the Draft SAS Committee. Daniel, one of the thoughts I have, you know, even if a third-party candidacy, it's a long shot, but even if that candidate loses, whether it's Ben Sasse or somebody else, don't you think it's probably important for the sake of the down ballot races to actually have a strong alternative for people to vote for?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But I think, you know, I believe Ben Sasse can get into this race and we can win it.
Okay.
But I think we also have to look a little bit further past the actual election. To me, we've hit a spot where the future of the Republican Party, and I mentioned the Republican Party because that's what I have been a part of in the past.
Right.
To me, it's in doubt, right?
Right.
Because you have a whole wing of the party that is saying, hey, you failed us. This whole process you have for nominating has failed us. And, you know, I know they like to talk about, well, Donald Trump is bringing in all these new voters. Well, that may be the case. Will all those new voters offset all the voters he's losing, right?
Yeah. Because
how many people out there are saying, I vote every election I vote, but I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
Now, I may go in and vote down the ballot, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not voting for the presidential ticket.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you know, there's this big push for the unity, and it looks like Paul Ryan is going to say, okay, I'm going to give my seal of approval on Donald Trump after he said, you know, I'm not so sure. Now they had their unity meeting.
Yeah, that's very interesting, though. I mean, how many we're seeing true colors of conservatives now, aren't we?
Right, we are.
We're seeing all the people who I used to respect as you know, stalwarts of conservatism. I'm looking at them now and saying, wait. First, you said these are the principles we believe in, and now you're going to endorse somebody like Donald Trump. There's a disconnect there, and people like me are seeing that disconnect and seeing there's something rotten at the core here.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, well, it's amazing. We had to, you know, I totally get somebody who says, like, say Bobby Jindal, who came out, you know, said, you know, I'm voting for Trump. He said, I sympathize with those who are in the never, you know, anybody but Trump movement. But he also, you know, he made a pledge to support the GOP nominee. I take pledges seriously. So I know he does as well. And I've got friends and family who says, I just, you know, vote not voting for Donald again. The argument, hey, is a vote for Hillary Clinton. And I can't see her winning. So I can understand some of that. What bothers me is, first of all, the early endorsers of Donald Trump. Those folks, you know, I'm just like, I don't get you. You're going to be held accountable. And those who berate me for being never Trump, like Governor Mike Huckabee, just said, you know, you should just leave the party. And I'm like, well, maybe he's right. Maybe I should leave the party, because if this is the party of Trump, maybe I'm no longer Republican.
Yeah. And you're not the only one thinking that. I've had the same thoughts. You know, do I shred up my Republican card? I haven't yet, but I also think that we need to think about new paradigms for the American politics. And, you know, because what we have is not working. It really is not working for people like me. And there's a lot of me's out there, a lot of people who understand constitutional principles and vote on principle, not on party.
Right.
That's the kind of problem I see we've gotten into, is this sort of love of party. Well, the party is not the principles that we hold dear. The party is simply the mechanism to get to those. So we have to get off of this idea that, you know, we're loyal to party. No, we're loyal to ideas. We're loyal to principles. Right.
Well, to be fair, Dan, though, I would submit that a big part of Donald Trump's support over this past year has been from people who are just as fed up as we are. Now they may have chosen the wrong solution.
But in all seriousness,
I think that a lot of these people were just completely frustrated with what's been going on in Washington, D.C. They're frustrated with the Republican establishment. And they, you know, a lot of what Donald Trump was saying early on really, really resonated with them. Mm. So I understand exactly what you're saying, but I think the Trump phenomena has been driven by something other than just merely, you know, partisan politics.
Oh, yeah. And I'm talking about those people who will support the party over everything.
Okay? Sure. Right.
So
sure.
I don't think it's Donald Trump is partisan politics, but I do believe that. I agree. There's a lot of anger out there. Where's that anger coming? It's coming from, we are, as a nation, in a moment of transition. Yep.
We are out of time. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, okay, gentlemen.
Go check out DraftSass.com. DraftSass.com. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Thanks, Daniel.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Bye.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now it's time for our news segment, otherwise known as News You Can Use.
We hope you can use anyway.
Yeah. This one, first up, is from Fox News. Particle physics and string theory pose plenty of interesting questions, but educators at MIT this week wrestled with yet another vexing dilemma. Here's the following Question: is Islamophobia accelerating global warming?
Okay, just when I think these people are like semi-intelligent, they come up with stuff like this. It makes me question whether they're really intelligent or not.
I am with you.
This was the topic at a Monday panel. This would have been a week ago Monday, at the venerable Boston School, whose alums include Edwin Buzz Aldrin, the famous astronaut, Michael Bloomberg, and Charles and David Koch. The presentation, sponsored by the school's Global Studies and Languages Department, looked at, quote, an entanglement of two crises, metaphorically related, with one being a source of imagery for the other, and both originating in colonial forms of capitalist accumulation, unquote. Oh, jeez.
You know, I just, the School of Global Studies and Languages Department really seems to be at odds with the actual mission of the school and the name of the school, you know, Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Technology. Mm.
The topic was presented by Gassan Haig, a future generation professor. What is a future generation professor?
I have no idea.
At the University of Melbourne. Haig, who is authoring an upcoming book on the proposed Islamophobia / global warming relationship, has a history of courting controversy and promoting far-left and anti-Israel ideas. You think?
Yeah. Mm.
I think this guy would probably pass the Kuchberger test.
I think so.
Next up, the Los Angeles Times. A federal judge ruled for House Republicans on Thursday in their suit against President Obama. Yeah, let's have a little
good to see it's good to see some common sense prevail in federal court. It doesn't happen very often.
They declared his administration is unconstitutionally spending money to reimburse health insurers without obtaining an appropriation from Congress. Well, now, how about that? The judge's ruling, though a setback for the administration, was put on hold immediately and stands a good chance of being overturned on appeal.
Like we said, common sense is rare in federal courts.
That's right. But the 38-page opinion highlights the repeated complaint from Republicans that Obama and his administration have ignored constitutional limits on their authority. Amen to that.
There you go.
The Constitution says no money shall be drawn from the Treasury but in consequence of appropriations made by law, said Judge Rosemary Collier. I think we should have a round of applause for Judge Collier.
Yep. And the Constitution is very clear on this. There's really no room for interpretation.
Yep.
Yeah, it says here, let's see here. This is her writing again. Congress is the only source for such an appropriation, and no public money can be spent without one, unquote.
Sounds like a very intelligent gal.
Yeah, yeah. But it's perfect, though, where the article says the judge's ruling, though a setback, was put on hold immediately and stands a good chance of being overturned on appeal.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember if Los Angeles is under the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals. So...
All right, next up, the New York Times. Moscow. As American and Allied officials celebrated the opening of a long-awaited missile defense system in Europe with a ribbon cutting and a band. The reaction in Russia on Thursday suggested the system had raised the risks of a nuclear war. Russian officials reiterated their position that the American-built system imperiled Russia's security. But the public discussion in Russia was darker, including online commentary of how a nuclear confrontation might play out in Europe, and that the prospect of Romania, the system's host, might be reduced to, quote, smoking ruins, unquote. We have been saying right from when this story started that our experts are convinced that the deployment of the ABM system poses a certain threat to the Russian Federation, the Kremlin spokesman Dmitry S. Peskov told reporters. Measures are being taken to ensure the necessary level of security for Russia, he said. The president himself, let me remind you, has repeatedly asked who the system will work against. I think it's fair to say that so long as Mr. Putin is running that country, there's going to be a certain level of hostility between our countries. I don't see that as changing anytime soon.
It just amazes me how, you know, it's a missile defense system, but somehow it's a threat to Russian security. That's shocking to me. When it's meant for defense, it's not an offensive weapon.
Next up, this is from The Wrap. Caitlyn Jenner, who announced her transition from man to woman last year, has considered detransitioning.
Which I'm sure is blowing LGBT crowd.
Detransitioning.
Yes.
Oh, well, there's a word for that now. Okay. The author of a new book about the Kardashian family.
Oh, wake me up when it's over.
Author of a new book. Oh, on the Kardashian family. They told The Wrap on Wednesday, Ian Halperin, the author of Kardashian Dynasty, The Controversial Rise of America's Royal Family.
What? By who considers them that?
Okay. While researching his book, multiple sources told him that the former Olympian had been miserable for months and has considered transitioning back to a man. One source confirmed to me Caitlyn has made whispers of sex change regret, hinting she might go back to being Bruce Jenner, Halperin said. Halperin said that one longtime friend told him that while Jenner was thrilled to champion transgender issues, the reality TV personality could detransition within the next couple of years.
Well, to answer to those LGBT folks that are like mad about this, if gender is a social construct, then we should be able to change your mind, right?
That's right. He doesn't feel like a woman anymore.
Right.
Well, I tell you what, there's a side of me that actually has some compassion or pity here.
Right. I mean,
this guy is clearly messed up.
I agree. And now there's a reason they call it gender dysphoria a disorder.
And now he's been miserable for months. Well, should we really be surprised by that?
No. Yeah. No, I think anytime you take action that's contrary to how God has made you, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah. Okay. Last but not least, this one is from Charisma News. Alabama's Supreme Court Chief Justice was suspended on Friday, and that would be a week ago today, which is the day we record the show. He was suspended on Friday for ordering state probate judges not to grant marriage licenses to gay couples, despite contrary rulings by a federal court and the U.S. Supreme Court. Chief Justice Roy Moore, an outspoken opponent of same-sex unions, faces possible removal from the bench after the Alabama Judicial Inquiry Commission charged him with violating the state's judicial ethics laws, according to the news website, AL.com. Legality of gay marriage had been at the center of a national debate until the Supreme Court ruled in June that the U.S. Constitution provides same-sex couples the right to marry, handing a historic triumph to the American gay rights movement. Well,
it seems like he's been down that road before.
Well, it's not the first time that he's been in trouble, but
it just amazes me how I don't know, he's an elected official because they elect their Supreme Court justices down there, and yet an unelected commission could remove him from. That's weird. Anyway, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
She is a good friend, but I just don't know how to fix this conflict. I wonder if it's time to just walk away. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. In today's disposable society, it sometimes doesn't seem worth the effort to risk confronting a friend. After all, they will only get defensive, and that would ruin the friendship anyway. To avoid losing a friend or making a conflict worse, considering using the peacemaker pause. The A of pause reminds us to affirm the relationship. Use your energy to attack the problem, but affirm the relationship. The Bible says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." If you are at a walk-away point in a friendship, call 515-635-5465 to set up a free consultation, or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. Again, that number is 515-635-5465.
And we're to our last segment of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio for the week. I know you're sad. It'll be okay. We'll be back next week. So no worries. But in the meantime, you know you can check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Be our friend, because Brian needs friends. So.
Okay.
And maybe now. Brian doesn't need friends. Okay.
And now, we've come to my favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true, because...
You can't make this stuff up!
All right, first off, from UPI, Dartmoor, England.
You got a twofer today. I'm excited.
You just blew the surprise.
Oh, I didn't realize it was a surprise.
You just blew the surprise.
I'm sorry. I do this a lot. That's why nobody
ever
tells.
Folks.
That's why nobody ever tells me things about surprises. You should have told me that before the segment.
All right. A British military helicopter scored a conclusive and apparently accidental victory against a swarm of portable toilets by sending the potties flying. A video posted to Twitter shows the Royal Navy's Merlin helicopter transporting a cannon in Dartmoor in the run-up to the 10 Tours Military Challenge, a competition run by the military for members of the public. The chopper flies over a row of portable toilets, and the downdraft from the vehicle sends the small cabins. I've never heard them called that
cabins.
Before.
Well,
small cabins flying off in multiple
portable
directions.
Water closets, yes.
Rolls of toilet paper can be seen flying high in the air. The incident took place last week prior to Saturday's start of the challenge. The toilets were unoccupied at the time of the incident.
Oh, okay.
We got to get that
I'm
video
trying to
up
think of the
thoughts, buddy.
I'm trying to think of the mess that would actually make, too. Holy cow.
And let's not think about that. All right, ladies.
Let's describe that. No.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a twofer today.
I'm surprised.
Color me surprised. Shocking. We never do this.
What am I going to do with you, Shane? All right, Deltona, Florida, UPI once again. Authorities in Florida said a man accidentally shot himself while cleaning his gun and didn't notice the wound until he changed his shirt 2 days later.
Okay. There's several problems with this story. Wow.
The county sheriff's office said deputies responded to a report of a shooting victim Saturday at Florida Hospital Fish Memorial in
Fish Memorial? Who names a hospital that? At Florida Hospital Fish Memorial?
Just down the block from the aquarium, right?
Yeah. I think that's a typo.
Must be near where the dolphins play. All right.
Okay.
Michael Blevins, 37, who had checked himself into the hospital with a bullet wound. Blevins told deputies he was cleaning his .22 caliber pistol Thursday in the living room of his home, and he was holding the gun close to his chest to prevent his dog jumping near it. The man said he felt a sharp pain in his back from a previous injury when he tried to stand up and ended up falling face down. Blevins said the gun fired, and he struck his head on the edge of a glass coffee table. He said he did not believe the bullet had struck him until Saturday when he removed his long-sleeved black shirt and discovered the bullet's entry and exit wounds on his arm. Blevins said the medication he takes...
Well, there you go.
The medication he takes for his back injury may have prevented him from feeling any pain.
I don't know any medication that good. That's legal.
I like this too. He's wearing his shirt. You know, he's got a hole in it and probably blood all over the place. He wears it for 2 days.
And still, gosh.
Send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. We'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show.
And be sure to go to Fish Memorial down in Orange City, Iowa. That's a great hospital. We'll see you next week, folks.
Orange City, Iowa. Yeah. Take care, everybody.